Call Back the Past.
In the good old summertime of 1902, the British summer, that is, a collective sigh of relief filled the English air at the news that the long and vexing struggle of the Anglo-Boer War was at last over, and that a peace treaty had been signed at Vereeniging. The conflict had taken the lives of 10,000 soldiers on both sides, and many more lives were lost because of disease and starvation. The final terms provided for £3 million as compensation for restocking farms, and representative government for South Africa under British sovereignty. And in 1902, the world heard the result of a smaller battle between two great boxers, Bob Fitzsimmons and James J. Jeffries. Jeffries won in 8 rounds, and later recalled,
"I knocked him out of the left hand. I thought I'd missed the punch. Uh-huh. It just grazed his chin, and I started to hit him with the right hand, and his hands had dropped, and his eyes were glazed. Instead of hitting him, I just shoved him over."
There were several alliances in 1902. The Triple Alliance between Germany, Italy, and Austria was renewed till 1914, and Britain and Japan became unlikely partners in the Treaty for Mutual Defense and to maintain the status quo in the Far East. National bankruptcy in Portugal and a reduction of the French working day to 9.5 hours were announced in the year which a gentleman by the name of Bill Bailey was being musically requested to come home. Here's a later recording by Jimmy Durante.
"Won't you come home, Bill Bailey, won't you come home? I moan the whole day long. I'll do the cooking, darling, I'll pay the rent. I know I've done you wrong. Remember that rainy evening I drove you out with nothing but a fine-tooth comb. I know I'm to blame, now ain't it a shame? Bill Bailey, won't you please come home?"
In Britain, where Arthur Balfour succeeded the retiring Prime Minister Lord Salisbury, a young Max Beerbohm was living it up. Beerbohm recalls one of the music hall greats of the time, Dan Leno.
"His meager face was riven with care, but the gleam in his eyes proclaimed him undefeatable. He never asked for sympathy, but the moment he appeared on the stage, our hearts were all his. Nature had made him somehow irresistible. Nor do I remember anyone so abundant in drollery of patter. He was, by the way, the inaugurator of patter. In his later years, he hardly sang at all. There was just a perfunctory gabble of a stanza and a chorus, and the rest was a welter of the spoken word and of imaginative genius."
"I've just come back from where I've been, as you may well suppose. No doubt you feel astonished for to see me in these clothes. At present I'm a huntsman gay am I, and all the people smile at me when through the air I fly. Why, away, away, away we go, away we go, away we go. We don't know where we go, but still, well, I know we go away."
Shaw's Mrs. Warren's Profession, Chekhov's Three Sisters, and Barry's The Admirable Crichton drew crowds to the theatres, while the musical comedies Twirly Whirly, A Chinese Honeymoon, and Sally in Our Alley did well, too. Here's Under the Bamboo Tree from Sally in Our Alley.
"If you like a me like I like a you, and we like a both the same, I like a say this very day, I like a change your name. 'Cause I love a you and love a you true, and if you a love a me. One liver's two, two livers one, under the bamboo tree. Down in the jungle lived a maid, of royal blood though dusky shade. A marked impression one she made upon a Zulu from Matabulu. And every morning he would be down underneath a bamboo tree, awaiting there his love to see. And then to her he'd sing, if you like a me like I like a you, and we like a both the same. I like a say this very day, I like a change your name. 'Cause I love a you and love a you true, and if you a love a me. One liver's two, two liver's one, under the bamboo tree. If you like a me like I like a you, and we like a both the same. I like a say this very day, I like a change your name. 'Cause I love a you and love a you true, and if you a love a me. One liver's two, two liver's one, under the bamboo tree.
Books of 1902 included Arthur Conan Doyle's The Hound of the Baskervilles, Rudyard Kipling's Just So Stories, and Beatrice Potter's Peter Rabbit. And South Africa was receiving its wheels. Veteran motorist Colonel J.G. Rose recalls,
at the end of 1902, I was in Calvinia on some government work. And when I was ready to come back, a friend of mine offered to fetch me home in his new powerful 12-horsepower four-cylinder Panhard. I accepted gladly, and Calvinia was duly treated to a view of this novel and up-to-date monster. My friend had with him a very able engineer, one of the pioneers of that day. This gentleman was constantly busy tightening up nuts, adjusting the heavy chains that drove the car, and otherwise repairing the damage done by the rough roads. The engine had tube ignition as well as electric, and this made the trip possible, because, believe it or not, no battery then available would last the long journey to Calvinia and back, which is a matter of some 360 miles.
The completion of the Aswan Dam in Egypt marked one of the engineering feats of 1902, and the movies advanced with the first exclusively motion picture theater opening in Los Angeles. On record for the first time, the great opera star Enrico Caruso.
Thank you.
American occupation of Cuba ceased in 1902 with the establishment of the Republic of Cuba, and in the same year the United States established civil government in the Philippines. Andrew Carnegie granted $10 million for the Carnegie Trust, which was to encourage in the broadest and most liberal manner investigation, research, and discovery, and the application of knowledge to the improvement of mankind. Edward Elgar's Pomp and Circumstance was a timely composition in 1902 when England saw a new king crowned. The news of the coronation of Edward VII was spread by the lighting of bonfires at strategic points. The poet laureate of the time wrote,
"A beacon from some solitary height sent forth its message to the waiting night. Swiftly from out the quiet darkness came flame after answering flame, that crown the hill so that they seem to speak, peak unto shadowy peak, bidding the lonely homestead people say, the king is crowned at last. God save the king."
Beacon bonfires as a method of communication right in the 20th century.
Back the Past was devised and presented by Percy Seif and comes to you by courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.